over half of the money that we spend, or it seems nearly half of the money that we spend in the department, is the buying goods and services. How well we do that will go a long way towards determining how successful we will be. So I've been very focused in looking at our, not just our procurement, but our, what I call the framework. How do we buy? How do we think about buying? How do we look at the marketplace? How do we make sure that when we go to the marketplace, we're not looking to buy things that don't exist in the marketplace? So if you look at what we're doing, the emphasis on better program execution, better development of requirements, development of a life cycle framework, which is really one of those legacy things, leaving in place an ability for the department to have a systemized way on how they approach any kind of investment. And it really is any kind of investment. It's not just goods and services, but it's people as well. And I spend a lot of time as well talking to industry. You know, I spent 10 years in the private sector, so I have a good sense of what industry is looking for from government. And one of the things that we're trying to focus on is to reduce, certainly not eliminate, but reduce the number of ambiguities in our procurements. What is an ambiguity? An ambiguity can be translated by the private sector as a cost. If I don't know what you want, I don't know exactly when you want it or how you want it delivered, you're going to pay for that. Government is going to pay for that ambiguity, that risk. So that's the upfront emphasis on better preparation. What are my capabilities? What are the requirements? How does that turn into a good, solid foundation, an acquisition?
Well, let me jump in. You covered a lot of ground, and there's definitely some things I want to follow up with. An acquisition is really, in many ways, is sometimes the overlooked piece that holds everything together. Give me a sense of how are things getting better?
Here's, I think, the most obvious to me. And this is an example of where every undersecretary has built on the work of their predecessors. So before I got here, the department put together, and Elaine Duke was instrumental in helping put together, the Management Director 102.1, which laid out sort of an acquisition review process, among other things. And she wasn't here long enough to fully implement it, but I was able to come in, and we've been able to now put together a acquisition review process. To date, I probably have presided over about 45, probably close to 50 of these. What this does is now at predetermined milepost in an acquisition's life cycle, the department is able to have a substantive review. And I do this not by myself. I bring in all of my line of business. So the chief financial officer, the chief information officer, the chief procurement officer, chief administrative officer, et cetera, are all present along with that respective component that is pursuing an acquisition strategy or procurement. This was not in place prior. So the good thing about this is, you know, for the first time, we have oversight over major acquisitions. So if you look at the major acquisitions that were problematic in DHS's history, we know many of them, SBI Net and others. The most important thing I would say today is, whether it was ACE or SBI Net, none of these management controls were in place at the time. I'm not going to say it's impossible for an SBI Net, for example, to replicate itself today, but it'd be very, very hard, very difficult, because now we have a framework, a systematic approach to how we review. So very often during these reviews, these are not perfunctory reviews. These are very substantive, long, laborious reviews where we go through every component of it. We look at how well is a program staffed. We look at the funding. We look at the life cycle costs. We look at the staffing. We look at, does a program have adequate staffing? Does it have the right skill sets? And there have been many occasions where we've sent programs back for additional work or put contingencies on their moving forward based on their ability to come back and satisfy departmental requirements. I think the whole department is better off today in an acquisition area because of this acquisition review process.
Is there a limit in terms of how much the project must cost? Is it $1 million? Is it $10 million? Where's the bar?
We categorize them, and we're looking at some of this nomenclature today. But as it exists today, we have sort of level one programs, which are $300 million and up. And we have a level two, which are smaller than that. But we're looking at some of that nomenclature today. We may be in need for revisiting that, how we categorize it, because quite frankly, a $300 million program is a very large program, much like a multi-billion dollar program is.
The reviews are something that you see a lot across government. You've heard of TechStat, you've heard of ActStat. How are you keeping track of all this data? How are you managing this entire process?
And that's something that I was very focused on in the beginning. When we started these acquisition review boards and the process, I was very concerned that we not get caught into that trap of relying on anecdotal information solely. where are we going to get this information? How are we going to use it? Who we're going to make it available to were all the things that I was very focused on. And how do we focus on those most important elements that help us identify when a program is in trouble? Here's the major shift I'm trying to make here at Homeland Security. We're moving away from catching you after you've made a mistake, more into what I call a diagnostic mode, helping you succeed. And the way we help you succeed is by catching you before you make an egregious error or make a mistake. That's the true nature of having a robust acquisition process, an overview process. We don't want our programs to fail. We want our programs to succeed. So in order to do that, I've got to be in more of a preventative or diagnostic mode. I need tools. I need information to be able to help me do that. So we have created internally what I call a decision support tool, which basically just integrates existing data warehouses that bring together the basic information I need around cost, schedule, and performance, and also look at staffing, look at some of the budget, bring it in one place. So I have now a decision support tool, basically a executive information system that is made available not only to the department, to the enterprise, if you will, but also to the components and the programs. So when we come together now, starting October 1 in these acquisition review boards, the information will be available to everybody. So we're not playing got you. We're looking at your schedule, for example. We're looking for breaches. We're looking at costs. We're looking at some of the performance-related issues. Every program manager is responsible for administering his or her contract. So I want to also know, are their contractors meeting the requirements of their contract? For example, if a contract has a small business provision, are they meeting that? If not, I want to know why. I still want to hear some of the stories. I just don't want to rely on the stories. I want a good mix between empirical data and some of the anecdotal to give me a good, rich overview of how well our programs are doing.